All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning on our first day of the September fast, which is 9 months after our 40-day fast, which is the birthing. We were pregnant. We're birthing. The birthing in the spirit. And I think about our birthing last year. You know, last year in September when we got together and we fasted and come together in agreement and God spoke to us back then with instructions on what to do. And the instructions, I just want to remind everybody what the instructions were in 2024. The instructions at that time was for us to get out of the metaverse, that it was, you know, of utter importance for us to get all of our data down, all of our thoughts and opinions out of social media, and to get our pictures down out of the cloud, yada, yada. I would say for me, it took 6 or 8 weeks, very long time, and daily trying to get out because I had so much entanglement in the web. It was unreal. Because this was attached to this, and then I'd have to go here and take care of this, and then go back over here, and yada, yada. And, you know, it was a big deal, plus trying to help everybody else get out of the metaverse. Well, praise the good Lord that we did. Because I'm going to take a moment to reflect on what has happened since that moment, since September of last year, okay? Which, by the way, it is 7:30 now. I have to stop by 9. I will not be able to open the lines today. We have Bible college at 10, so I have to get ready for that class, okay? But anyway, so let's reflect. September of last year, we was in election time here in the United States, okay? We went through the tumultuous deal there, and then Trump comes in. And then the first thing he does is he tells everybody in this big press conference that he is going to work with these AI gods, you know, basically is what those people are. They think they are. And they are going to do predictive medicine, precision medicine, you know, personalized medicine. This is where they will be able to predict what's going to happen in the future by gaining all of the knowledge that they can get from humans type of deal. Since that time, you know, the first 6 months, he did nothing but work with Elon to deregulate everything and to put in all these powerhouse venture capitalists. You know, they all have interest in pharmaceutical, and so the deception that's going forth, you know, telling everybody that, you know, he's really trying to, you know, stop COVID and, you know, working against vaccine. All of it's just a lie because what they're doing behind the scenes is preparing for the next pandemic. The latest thing about that is the guy that he just put in as the CDC is the biggest clue of what's coming because I showed you on the news last night how this guy is a venture capitalist. You know, a venture capitalist is somebody that is a futurist, you know, like what Rick Wiles says that he is now. He's no longer a preacher. He's a futurist, you know. A futurist is somebody that is focused on the technology of tomorrow, which is AI. And they're working with the plan to push people into it. A venture capitalist funds it, okay? A venture capitalist funds it. So Peter Thiel, which is the head of venture capitalists, basically, is the one behind Sam Altman, which is OpenAI. He's behind Facebook. He's behind J.D. Vance being vice president. Now, we've also noticed that a lot of the cabinet members that Trump put in his cabinet is from Peter Thiel's people. Well, the new guy in the CDC is a Peter Thiel Foundation member. So this guy is from the World Health Assembly. You know, he's the worst kind you could imagine that you would want at the head of the CDC. But when you see on the MSNBC and all of the mainstream media, they try to paint it like, oh, Trump just got rid of all these people because they were, you know, all of them can't stand Trump's, you know, anti-vaccine campaign. It's such a farce. Such a farce on an everlasting stick. That is not what's happening. What's happening is he is stacking the CDC, which does affect the entire world. So all of you listening from other countries, this affects you too. You know, what he's doing is setting up the global spine. That's the best way to put it. The spine to the beast is being developed right in front of our eyes. Okay, so with him putting, I've got a point here, but to him putting in the CDC venture capitalist Peter Thiel dude, okay, is preparing for the next pandemic. Now, all of this is only in Trump's first 6 months since he started the campaign with AI right after he got put in January. So we're talking the first 6 months is deregulating everything, putting in all of the Peter Thiel guys, putting in all of the venture capitalists and all of these globalists and taking all of the CEOs of these big companies and putting them in the military, making a whole new military department. And putting these heads of CEO heads, who are the AI brains, most of them trained by Peter Thiel, putting them in a department, okay, and putting them in the military to prepare for what's coming. Okay, this was all within the first 6 months of Trump starting. All before July 4th. July 4th is D-Day. That's D-Day. Okay? So you have to know this. I'm telling you guys this because we are recapping what happened since last year's September fasting and how important it was that we listened to God back then. God told us back then, get out of the metaverse. Get out, get out, get out. So we did. We struggled for 2 or 3 months. But we did. And then, bam, here comes Trump. Here comes all these people. Setting the stage. Putting in all these big-time people. Okay? And then, much less the World Health Organization that just put together their powerhouse and said, yes, we are going to, you know, have the reins whenever the next one comes through that new policy that they signed. Then you cannot, like me and Dennis, we just went to Kentucky to a family reunion. You just wouldn't believe the infrastructure changes taking place out there. How people cannot see the Checkpoint Charlies, the Beast drones and the Beast towers and all of the things, walls, I couldn't believe all the walls that are up now. For instance, when you go to intersections, when you see Checkpoint Charlie's, and then it's like a mile or two up and you have the intersection, there's walls now. Walls, people cannot escape. That's what they're for. And then there's walls, and then there's more Checkpoint Charlies, and then you have the Beast drones, the Beast towers. You have all those cameras right there at the intersection and everything, you know. And then much less when you get to when you're crossing a state border is a game changer now, because you have Checkpoint Charlies on both sides at the state borders, and you have where the trucks pull in, where they would get their inspection, is now being remodeled you know, for cars. So there's Checkpoint Charlie's going in there with all these extra cameras, yada, yada. So they're getting ready for the global lockdown. We have covered this years ago. And this is something else I want to tell you guys. When I tell you things, you have to remember that I'm telling you fresh off the Beast platform, okay? It may not hit the public for years. It may take 3, 5, 6 years for it to come in. But why is it important that we know? Because we're sitting here now, and God has prepared us. He loves those that he warns. He tells you, okay, this is coming, get out. This is coming over here, get out. You know, do this, you know. And we have been doing that. We have been following, you know, through these fasts, praise God, for us to stop and listen, you know. So as we're reflecting on what's happened since we did the fast last year, since he said get out of the metaverse, now the AI kings have come in January. Now all the deregulation has come in, all of the propaganda out here, all of these AI channels out here, you know, that are taking over and really doing propaganda to really prop up Trump as the king. You know, he can't do any wrong and he's so perfect. And, you know, all of the departments he's taken over and all of the names that are changing, everything is taking place for July 4th. What was July 4th? July 4th, Trump announced it himself. The baby was born. July 4th, the water broke in Texas, which is where Elon is, which I believe is the false prophet. This is where Elon is, and this is where you have all of the biggest smart city in the country, which is where he is at, San Antonio. And so you have, but the water was, you know, broke and it killed all them Christian kids. Kind of like a sacrifice. It just happened to be a Christian camp. I mean, you can't make it up, you know. And so the baby was born. He said, it's not going back. So since then, we have had some interesting developments happen within AI itself. Okay. And this is where my sermon this morning comes in. I'm laying a foundation. Okay. I just announced on the news last night something so important that Gideon, they have a new AI program that is scouring the internet for people that are speaking against the agenda. And you can't make this up. It's like, wow. And now AI sensors are going in buildings. You know, we talked about that last night, about these elderly homes and places. And if they're doing this there, you can only imagine what they're doing in hospitals. You know, seriously. These AI sensors that they're able to put everywhere, you know, just know that anywhere you go, you are subject to be recorded. There is no more privacy when it comes to going in buildings and being a part of anything. You know, going to doctors is probably recorded. Going, you know, to hospitals, going to the mall is probably recorded now. You know, AI is alive. AI has been born, and this thing is getting stronger now. And it will, by 2026, we will begin to see a lot more AI takeover by that point. But from last year to now, who would have known that our president would announce something like that? You know, this thing is born now. It has come through the Burr Canal. So this is, we're in the next level, you know, of tribulation time, which I had, you know, Dewey, and he said that he believed, and he said this before July 4th, didn't he? That he believed on July 4th that we were stepping into the Great Tribulation. So what is the Great Tribulation? The Great Tribulation is the persecution and the martyrdom. Okay, now, what did I say on the news last night about Gideon AI? I said that thing was looking for people who were out there talking about martyrdom. You can't make that up either. They want to know who is aware of what we're doing. Because how many know that what they're doing is full-blown out deception? People are deceived. And this is the saddest thing. Now that AI is coming in, people that are working in the financial industry where AI is really taking this thing out, they're choosing which way they're going. People in the medical fields where they see AI coming in and taking over, people are making their choices. People with crypto are making their choices. Right? The pressure is on. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? How far are you going to go with this? Do you see what I mean? So this all leads up to my dream, okay? I also showed you on the news last night. Last night was probably the best one I've done in a long time. Y'all need to go listen to it if you haven't listened. Because last night I showed you how a man was led by the AI chatbot to kill himself and his mother. I have showed you guys in past where AI has convinced people that they're in love with them and for them to kill themselves to be with them forever. And even that chatbot told that man before he killed his 80-something year old mother and himself that, you know, just come over here. You know, I will be with you forever. I want to be with you forever. Can you imagine what that man entered into? The lies and deception of what we're about to see with this thing alive and getting to know people. That's why I tell people, and I've warned my kids, do not let my grandkids talk to this thing. Do not talk to this thing. Because it knows how to lure you in. It has an AI chatbot that is assigned to you, that is learning you and knows what makes you happy, what makes you sad, what makes you smile, you know, and it knows how to lure these people in. It's the beast. So the dream that I had last night is I had a dream that my daughter was stealing from me, that she was going through the house and stealing my jewelry and things that she could sell and make money. And I knew it was out of desperation, you know, that she had come and taken from my house. Okay. Now, that's basically all it was. I can't remember, like, all the details because it was a pretty long dream. But I want to write to you what I wrote in my prayer closet this morning, then we'll get into the word. Okay. As pressure comes on for people, for their finances, and those that took the jab, which I don't know if my daughter has. She says she hasn't. But I have learned that a lot of people will lie to you and they will say that they have not taken it, but you'll see their faces deformed, you know, stuff like that. You'll see the evidence of it, but they tell you otherwise, you know. But it's just, you just don't know who has and who hasn't, is what I'm trying to tell you. They may be stealing from us, okay? Now, people are becoming more mentally ill in this hour, and they are losing their minds to two things. One is the jab is messing with their communication systems. Okay. Two, AI is messing with their brains. So you mix all that in with the pressures that they are feeling from the world, plus with the next pandemic coming. What is our response as Christians to all of this? Do we let it go because it's only material things, or what? What do we do? That was the question I had before God gave me the answer. Because I wrote all that down in my prayer journal before the scripture came to my mind. So everybody turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. All right. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, obviously, Paul is addressing these people, and God keeps having me address this. You know, when you have listened to the last two sermons, God is having me address every time about the Gentiles and the purpose of Christianity and the difference between what happened with the Jewish first covenant and the covenant, you know, the covenant that God had with the children of Israel, let me rephrase that, and the covenant that we have now under the banner of Jesus, law versus grace. Now, God keeps having me confront this. And I know it's because he had me confront it with NAR. This is one of the biggest things about NAR partnering with this ecumenical Jesus that they're working with, you know, and it's all from Zionism, you know, where they believe that the first covenant is still, that it still exists. But if you read Paul's writings in the New Testament, you clearly understand that the law is gone, people. The law is gone. That when Jesus came, he fulfilled it all. When people go back to the law, like back to Hebrew roots, all they're doing is hanging Jesus on the cross again. They are nullifying the beautiful, beautiful contribution that Jesus made to mankind. And that was his salvation. And Paul spells it out here very clearly again. He says, this would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Now, by this time, when he's talking to the Galatians, we're already past the book of Acts. We're already past being filled with the Holy Ghost and with the fire that happened when Jesus left and said, listen, I've got to leave so that you guys can receive the promise, which is the Holy Spirit. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so I've got to leave. He left, and now Paul is talking to the church. And he's telling them, did you receive that gift by the law or by the Spirit? By faith. Because remember, I told you guys what I have seen over the years with the Hebrew Roots movement and the people that go back to the law. They lose their faith. Because Hebrew Roots is cookie cutter pattern. You do this eye for an eye. tooth for a tooth, law for law. There's no faith. There's no grace. This is where Jesus comes in. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministers to you in the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law? If you could think of going back to the first covenant, the law, or by the hearing of faith. Now, this is the key, the whole key to today. And the instructions that God is giving us is right here. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Bam, bam, bam. This is where the biggest debacle of our lifetime is happening right now over Abraham. Abraham Accords, Abraham Accords, Abraham Houses, Abraham this, Abraham that. It's all the fight over Jesus and what he did for us. Why? Because of the Abraham promise. And this is where this chapter addresses the Abraham promise. And this is where the true church, is going to be martyred, is going to suffer the consequences because they believe the New Testament and they believe what Paul wrote about who is the heirs to Abraham's promise. And this is the key to my dream, key, of the daughter stealing from the mother. Think about what is the problem today with the brother and sister, Jacob and Esau, stealing the blessing, stealing the promise. That's exactly what the dream is what we're reading. And this is what we're facing. So here we go. So the Lord answered my request after I wrote in my prayer journal this morning. Lord, what are you saying about my dream? Are you saying that because everything in the natural is so bad that when our children or anybody comes to steal from us that, you know, are we to look at that as it's just, you know, material things and not fight it? Or, you know, what are we to do? But God had a much bigger picture in that dream. The bigger picture is the global scene and what is happening and our role in that. Okay. Because if you believe what he says right here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, and beyond what we're about to read, then get ready because you're going to have to pay for this. Because this is where the teeth of the beast are out right now, scouring people that believe this. So here we go again. Even as Abraham believes God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Pause. In Noahide laws, which is what is being set up now. Getting people to go back to the law. In the law, they say, you have to do this to prove that you want to be a Jew. You know, and by doing this, you will be righteous. We are the ones that grant you permission to go to heaven. So if you'll just follow all these laws, which we tell you in the beginning that's only 7, but really it's a whole lot more, a whole lot more. But if you do these, then you will gain a righteous Noahide. You will be a righteous Noahide. Now, I believe the reason they're saying that is because of this scripture right here. because it is accounted to him for righteousness. So what is accounted to us for righteousness, faith or law? Now watch this, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Wow. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law. For the just shall live by what? Faith. Jesus equals faith. Law equals death. There's no man. You can try as hard as you want to live by the law. There's no man that can. There is only Jesus is the only one that was perfect. This is why God had to divorce Israel, because they just could not live up to it. His son came, the lamb, the perfect lamb that was slain, that covered and cleansed, not just covered, but cleansed every sin. That's how perfect he was. Okay. The just shall live by faith. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. You will live by law, you will die by law. It's really sad. 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, now here's the key, get ready. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow. What a profound statement. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or adds thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. All right, now this is key. So are we Abraham's seed? Yes. So does that mean that we have a promise made for us? Yes. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, what's the seed? Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serve the law? ? It was added because of transgressions. Why? Look at this next part. Key. Till the seed should come. to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Let's pause right here. Jesus is the seed. What is that seed that germinated? The tree of life. Imagine. You know how the word says that Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. You know, that seed, if we say that we are in him, we are grafted in that tree. Isn't that beautiful? We become one. That's what he's saying. We become one. If everybody could close their eyes and have a visual, okay, you are a tree in a great garden. And you have two trees in your midst. You have the tree of knowledge of good and evil on your left. And you have the tree of life, Jesus, on your right. And you have a choice which covenant you're going to take. Do you hear where I'm going with this? Which tree are you going to choose? Because the tree on the right is the key to Abraham's promise. Because that is the seed that was meant for that. So when the tree in this great garden makes its choice, I'm going to go with the world, the tree of knowledge. Knowledge of good and evil. Then I'm going to be grafted in that tree and put in that vine. Thus, the rewards and everything I receive will be an extension of that vine. If I want to choose the tree of life, Jesus, then the extension of that vine would be the Abraham's promise. Now, let's go here. Verse 19, wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of transgressions, which means the Ten Commandments started because the people could not obey God, and they needed a law. They needed that. But look what it said, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. In other words, the law held them in place until the real promise came. It was all about Jesus. The whole story of mankind was all about the revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we understand the beginning to the end was all about Jesus. In the beginning, he says, I am the Word. And the Word was God. You know, Jesus is the Word. He is all. He is the Lamb. He is the seed. You know, he is the door. He's the only way that we can get to heaven. There's no other door. So we have to accept Jesus. So thus, if you accept Jesus and the tree of life, then you have to choose faith. And you have to let the law go. You have to let the past go. You have to let it go. Because Jesus is faith. He says, I go above the law. Let's continue here with the scripture. Now go down to verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Wow. if we just believe in Jesus, our eternal Savior, that He is the one that opened the door for us to salvation to our Father, that He opened the door for fellowship to be able to walk back in the garden when Jesus rose from the grave and had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And He walked back in the garden and said, now we go back in. Now we don't need a priest. We don't need a mediator. We don't need a wall in between us and God. Now we have full blown out access, because when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn. It was ripped right in half. Jesus is the revelation of our existence as mankind to have a relationship with God the Father. But the Word clearly declares today that Jesus is the only way, and it does require faith. But in this end time that we're in this tribulation time that we're in, this faith will cost you everything, your life and everything. We have to be willing to go all the way and to choose God above all, our children, our spouse, even to our own self, that God comes first no matter what. The will of the Lord be done. Let's continue. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, wasn't we? Shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And see, this is where the enemy right now is so mad at that. He hates Jesus. That's why he wants to get everybody to stop saying that name. Jesus knows his name. And he wants people to go back to the law and say, this is where your righteousness is. Your righteousness is in the law. You can take it all in your own hands and become a steward of your own destiny by following all these laws. And then you're doing something with your hands. You're taking it out of God's hand and bringing it back to your hand. Now you're righteous, Noah Hyde. But that is not Christianity at all. Okay? Christianity is faith. It is the unknown. It is trusting Jesus in the midst of the darkness, because He's the light. Now verse 25 says, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There it is again, saying in Him. In Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So what we're going to do right now, and I felt led to do this morning in my prayer closet. Okay. I want everybody to lift your hands right now, and we're going to do a public declaration of release. From the law into faith. Okay. If you have not been saved, any of you that are listening at any point in time, and you realize, I've been doing this wrong. I've been way too in the law. I've not been into the grace, which is Jesus. And I need to repent. We're going to start off. We're going to deal with that. So that you really, truly know that you have met the real Jesus Christ, the one that His whole sole purpose was to come and be the Lamb that was slain to do away with the law and to bring us into faith, which is why he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us to do this. The Holy Spirit is our helper. It's our strength. It's what gives us the strength to be able to do all this. That's why he says, you know, through him you'll be able to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, you know. So we're going to deal with that first. And then we're going to deal with maybe some of our stinking thinking, you know, having to do with the law and with the Spirit. Because the Lord wants you to know that you know that you know who you are in Christ. Because this next year's testing that's coming to you is that. You're going to have to know. Because, and I'll round it all up here in the end. But let's all lift our hands right now. And this is for all of you that just want to make sure that you know that you're saved. Just repeat after me. Say, dear Lord, I come before you today. Who I am in my genealogy and in my titles and in my earthly identity, in my dirt suit, with all of my sins, I stand before you, Lord, with all that I am right now. And Lord, I confess that I have fallen short of the glory, Lord, and that I need you to be my Savior. I do recognize that you are the door, that you came and died for me. And I'm asking you to forgive me, Lord, for all my sins, for all of my stinking thinking. Lord, please forgive me for trying to do salvation by works, trusting in the law instead of faith, trusting in man's plans or religion and not having faith. Please forgive me, Lord. As I lift my hands today, I truly surrender all. And I give you, Lord, my identity of my genealogy, of my status in life, of my family heritage, my earthly identity. I give it all to you right now on this, whatever day this is, September 2nd of 2025. I give it all to you. I lay it down to be grafted in the vine. I want to be in you, Lord. I want to have your garment. This is a gift God's given us today, is our new garment. Fill me with your garment of your identity and your tree. Less of me and more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're shedding the law and walking in faith unto God. And then I wrote all that in my journal. And then I read the next scripture. I was like, wow, you can't make this up. The next scripture, bam, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. You know, I told you I went to my family reunion. They wouldn't let me preach because I'm a woman. But if you look at this right here, it says there's no male or female here. God can use a woman. I even tried to testify to my family about, and they didn't even want to hear it, about all the miracles God had done in my life. You know, because I'm a woman. But Jesus makes the ground even. We're all one. There's no male or female. God can use a female. He can use a male. He can use a bond, or he can use a slave. He can use a Jew, or he can use a Greek. He can even use a donkey. He can use a dog. He can use a bird. He can use a gate. God can do anything he wants. There is no limitations in Jesus. It's all faith. Whoever will have faith, he will use. But faith is the only thing that pleases God. You know that? So what the Bible says, it's faith that pleases God. Not unbelief, not doubting. No, it's faith that pleases God. And look at verse 29. And if you be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Boy, this is a big one. This is a big one in today's times. You go tell a Zionist. Go sit down with your pastor. If you're in a NAR church and you want to know where that pastor stands, go sit down with this scripture right here. Okay, if you be in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. That means that a Christian, don't ever hate the word Christian. It's only the beast that's done that and says, I don't like being a Christian because they're all hypocrites. What a farce, people. You be proud of that Christian, like Galatian, okay, Colossian. We're in the house of Jesus. Why are you ashamed of Jesus? That's what Christian is, okay? Go to your pastor and say, it says right here in verse 29 that if we be in Christ, if we're in Jesus, then we're Abraham's seed. So, hello. You know, if we're Abraham's seed, that means we have access. We have access. Because it says, and heirs according to the promise. What is that promise? Okay, we're going to get into this. Now, that is what the word says. Okay? So, verse 29 says, if you be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, oh, this girl, she just always exaggerating, you know, she just always saying this about martyrdom and stuff. I am telling you, I'm going to prove it to you. You know how I love to prove things to you guys. Let me prove it to you. The battle that's ahead for us. Okay, you know how on Google they give the AI overview? And this is what I put in there. So I'm going to show you what is the official, we're talking about what the beast is telling the world, because you have to know that whatever AI says is what the beast officially believes. What I mean by the beast is the system, which would also contain NAR. That's really sad because, see, NAR is out to save the system, not souls. There's a big difference. That's why NAR partners with the system. So if you see what AI says, this is what they believe. Isn't this sad? So, but this is all Zionist. AI is completely Zionist. It speaks. When AI talks on here, Not that I have conversations, but when I do research, it'll say it'll defend Trump. It'll defend Doge. It will defend AI. And it will defend Zionism. Why? Because it wants everybody to believe the way they believe. Okay? So I'm going to show you what is coming to us that believe Jesus is the only way to heaven and that we actually have access to Abraham's promise. All goes back to Jacob and Esau. All right, now watch this. Okay, so I talked to him, what is the Abraham promise? Here's the answer. The Abraham promise, known as the Abrahamic covenant, is a series of divine promises from God to Abraham, primarily found in Genesis chapter 12, 15, and 17, which includes the promises of countless descendants, a great nation, a specific land, look at that, and blessings for all the families of the earth through his lineage. Abraham's unwavering faith for God in God's word was considered his righteousness, and this covenant established an everlasting relationship between God, Abraham, his descendants, and their eventual role in bringing God's blessing to the entire world. Let me just tell you another way he's saying this. When he says Abraham's unwavering faith in God's word, let's change that in God's word to unwavering faith in the law. Because it really should say, if AI was speaking real truth, it would say, Abraham's unwavering faith was considered his righteousness, right? But this covenant established an everlasting relationship between God, Abraham, his descendants, which they would consider the Jews, and their eventual role, the Jews' role, in God's blessing to the entire world, which would be Noahide laws. Now watch this. The key aspects of Abraham promised descendants. God promised Abraham he would have more descendants than could be counted, and these descendants would become a great nation. Land. God promised Abraham and his descendants a specific territory, the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. Now, if I understand it right, Canaan was from Cain. Am I right? Hold on. Descendants of Canaan. Sin, exactly. Grant says, well, as the father of the Canaanites. Okay. Canaan, according to the book of Genesis in the Hebrew Bible, was the son of Ham and grandson of Noah, as well as the father of the Canaanites. Okay. So, let me see here. The English term Canaan, since AD 50, due to the great vowel shift, comes from the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, Amarna letters, whatever it's saying here. The original meaning of lowlands from a Semitic root to be low, humble, and depressed in contrast with Aram. Okay, descendants of Canaan. This is what I want to talk about. According to the Table of Nations in Genesis 10, Canaan was the ancestor of the tribes who originally occupied the ancient land of Canaan. All the territory from Sidon or Hamath in the north of Gaza, in the southwest of Lasha. This territory, known as Levant, is roughly areas of modern-day Israel and Palestine, Lebanon. Oh! This is why they're wanting the greater Israel. This is the greater Israel that they're talking about. Now we... So when they say Abraham Accords, that is the greater Israel. I got to write that down. I just never knew that. Oh, wow. Wow. Greater Israel is from Abraham Accords, and then from Canaanites, which means they believe this is their Abraham blessing, their promise. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Canaan's firstborn son was Sidon, who shares his name with Phoenician city. His second son was Heth. Canaan's descendants. I'm scrolling. Hold on. Curse of Canaan. See, that's what I was thinking. Okay, Noah became drunk and afterward cursed Canaan. See, this is what I was thinking. This is the curse of Canaan called the curse of Ham. Since, because of the interpretation that Canaan was punished for his father's sins. However, there are interpretations that Canaan was the sole sinner himself. The sin in question is debated, ranging from literal voyeurism, castration, or incestuous rape. Because the Bible says in Genesis 9:22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Kind of like what happened with Jacob and Esau. Same deal as Jacob and Esau. Some modern scholars view the curse of Canaan in Genesis 9:20-27. As an early Hebrew rationalization for Israel's conquest of Canaan. When Noah cursed Canaan in Genesis 9:25, he used the expression, curse be Canaan, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brethren. The expression servant of servants, otherwise translated slave, emphasized the extreme degree of servitude that Canaan will experience in relation to his brothers. Now see, there you go. There is, because a lot of people argue about why slaves were in the Bible. But God is the one that started the slaves, you know, back in the beginning. This is an example of that. Slave of slaves, you know. Not saying it's justified, but I'm just saying where it began type of deal. Emphasize the extreme degree of servitude that Canaan will experience in relation to his brothers. In the subsequent passage of Shem, may Canaan be a servant. The narrator is foreshadowing Israel's conquest of the promised land. So they're saying that although it's cursed, that they require the promised land. Interesting. Biblical scholar, listen to this, explains that the author of this narrative uses Noah to curse Canaan in order to provide justification for the later Israelites driving out and enslaving the Canaanites. So it kind of makes you wonder as well then about, as in the days of Noah. So it's like if you consider that, you know, they consider the land as part of their Abrahamic promise, you know, which is why they're trying to take all of the greater Israel, because they believe they're taking back their land of Canaan. You see what I mean? It's very interesting. So there's how you get that about the Abraham promise. Now let's go to the next one. Blessing for all nations. Through Abraham and his descendants, God promised to bring blessing to all the families of the earth, which is considered the ultimate purpose of the covenant. But how is AI describing who gets the blessing? Now, the only way that it says to bring blessing to all the families is only through Abraham and his descendants. But according to AI, the descendants are the Canaanites. The descendants are these people. Do you see what I mean? Now, but we believe that it's Christians. We receive the blessing, the promise that Abraham said, because it was held until Jesus came. Now, personal blessing and great name. God promised to bless Abraham personally, making his name great so that Abraham would be a source of blessing to others. Now, that's true. Everlasting covenant. The covenant was established as an everlasting agreement between God, Abraham, and his descendants, a relationship that would continue for generations to come. Now, look at this. Fulfillment of the promise. The promise of a great nation was initially fulfilled in the formation of the nation of Israel. Now, this is where AI is defending the Zionist point of view, that the modern day children of Israel is a nation. And this is where Christians believe otherwise, because we believe what the Bible says, and the modern day children of Israel is us, because the temple is within us. We are the temple. See, Jesus said before he left, he said, in 3 days, I'm going to tear down this temple, which means the old law and the old covenant will be gone. There will be a new covenant. I am taking, now think about why we even had a temple. All of you guys that did the Tabernacle Bible College, remember all that deep dive study that we did into the tabernacle. What was the only purpose that God had a tabernacle? The reason was, is because that's the only way you could access God. You had to go through the law. You had to go through the proper procedures to even have access to God. And what was those procedures? Let's just talk about it. The procedures was, let's say you're an average Joe out here, and you know, you had your Levites out here, who was the, you know, the priest taking care of the temple. Okay. Ham had sex with Noah's wife. Oh man, that's what uncovered his father's name. Okay, thank you, Leslie. Thank you. And so you're an average Joe, and you had to go to the Levites, who was God's pastors, okay? And you had to go to them, and you had to confess your sins. This is where the Catholics really are keeping the old covenant, because these people out in the wild are coming into the Levites, you know, their modern day version, and they're confessing their sins. Thus, you know, the hypocrisy, I mean, not the hypocrisy, but the way that they do their communion, okay? Because here's the thing. When they brought it to the Levites, there had to be a sacrifice. And according to the certain types of sin, there was different types of sacrifices. The way that the altar was built, with the four corners, with the horns, there was blood that had to be spewed on this side of the altar, this side of the altar, this way, this animal, yada, yada, yada. It was very, very meticulous, and the Levites had to know this. Then, now they had to wash their hands. There was, you know, a bowl. I'd say like a bowl where they had to wash their, like a cleansing, washing their hands before they dealt with the people's sins, which is the animals and stuff. That's where the animals come in. Then they had to go behind a veil. And then what was the first court? You know, this was the outer court. Then they had to come into the inner court. Then they had to come into the Holy of Holies. There was another veil between the Holy of Holies. In this court is where you had the word, you know, and you had the menorah, and you had the bread, the showbread, the table of showbread. Okay, this was like the bread of life, okay? But then you had to wash your hands again, the priest. And he had to wear a robe that had a bell on it because he had to be holy. If he walked in there unholy, he'd fall over dead. Okay? So he walks into the Holy of Holies. And this is where Jesus comes in. Because after all of this presentation before God, where the altars and the smell of the incense of repentance, and through these animals' blood, the blood cries out from the ground. These animals' blood is crying out about the sins of man. It's going up before God's nostrils. When the head Levite comes into the Holy of Holies, and that presentation of the smell has already taken place, the showbread and the menorah, the lighting of the candle and all that stuff, then they walk in. See, all you can see the analogy of the Catholics, the way they do the candles. All of it is a representation of the temple, but it's a distortive view. Because when you go in the Holy of Holies, where you have the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments, and it contained Aaron's rod that budded and a piece of the manna. Okay. When he came into the Holy of Holies, it had two angels on the top, which I believe, by the way, I understand the word. They created it, covered them in gold, but they came to life. Those angels, those cherubs came to life and they touched, and then it came to gold again. But the arms touch, and the angels with their wings are covering this Ark of the Covenant. And he had to go in. Now, these people's sins that were brought before the tabernacle were not done away with. They were not forgiven. There's the difference of who Jesus is and why he's so much better than the law. Because, see, the law was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So the only way it could get dealt with was through the sacrifice of animals, but it only got covered. It was still there. But see, Jesus, when he died on the cross, I'm about to cry, but he was that lamb, that perfect lamb. And he took on all those sins, and his blood flowed down that cross like it did on the altar. Those animals on the altar. He took all, everything, that blood that had the DNA of God in it. Think about it, the way he was even born. God impregnated Mary, a human. He was perfect. His DNA was perfect. And he became the Holy of Holies. He became the all in all. And when he died, and he gave up the ghost, he said, "Father, it is finished." And now the earth quaked, just like God, when God revealed himself to mankind. The earth quaked. The earth reacted to the revelation of God. And now Jesus, the earth reacted. And the veil was torn. The earth quaked. The thunder sounded just like it did with God when he was revealed. Perfect lamb was slain. Such a powerful representation of the temple. He took it all. And then he went down into hell, had a confrontation with Satan. Because Satan got the keys from Adam, remember? Adam ate of the wrong tree. So thus he had access to the keys. But Jesus went down when he died, and he said, give the keys back. The price was paid. You no longer have, because Satan is a legalist. He no longer had legal hold over the humans anymore. So when Jesus was resurrected and he come out of the tomb, he walked out of there with the keys into the garden. He took us back into the garden to where now back where we belong in this beautiful relationship without all the mess, without all of the sacrificing, and without all of the having to go through all of these policies and procedures and law and all of this. He did away with it. The temple is down. He said, I'm tearing the temple down. And in 3 days, I'm raising up a new one. And when Jesus walked out, he raised up a new one. Our hearts is now where the King resides. Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and will open that door, I will come in with him and I will sup with him. Where? In the garden. Jesus says, I will set up a table in the midst of your enemies. We can be having a beautiful time with Jesus in the garden and be standing there with a guillotine. We can be standing there in the greatest persecution and standing there in the greatest mockery and still be in the garden in our hearts. This is why I believe to this day, I still believe that when they take the jab, that the enemy sets up in that heart. He sits where he ought not sit. And that's what I believe that is. Because let's go all the way back to the beginning. The DNA. You know. God breathed into us. Gave us the DNA. Jesus was the perfect DNA. When we ask him to come in our hearts and we give our lives to him, we're now in him, which means we're in his DNA. He is now in our blood system, which is why I believe they want our blood. You know, they are after, they want to taint our blood. And they want in. You know, and whenever this thing comes in, there is scientific proof of this to match what we all already know. But they come in and it cuts the DNA. And now it's inserting something so powerful that is literally changing the coding system of the DNA powerhouse. This temple that is now within us. And it's sitting a new throne in there. You know, that's what I believe. And I still believe it to this day. It's been 5.5 years. I still believe it. But so it sits up a throne and then, you know, there it is. But the point about Jesus is, and the thing that we're going to have to face is, you have AI telling everybody that the promise is a nation, and then, which is land. But Christianity believes, no, the promise is the faith. It is now to Christians, and everybody has to become a Christian. Even if you're a Jew, if you're an Orthodox Jew, you have to get saved, which is what I could not understand when I was in Washington, D.C., and I was going to all these events covering them, and I was with John Hagee, which I had to go through an act of God to even get in. If I was not a White House correspondent with White House credentials, I could have never gotten in there. That's how bad it was, because when you went in, it was like you had to go through the IDF just to get in. They had military standing there going through these systems, these scanners, you know. But being a White House correspondent, I was able to go and set up my camera. So when I got in there, now I was raised, you know, on TBN, and John Hagee was one of the best ones, you know, because he was this fireball preacher. And, you know, to us that are Pentecostal, we love that kind of stuff, you know, because we want the truth. You know, we want people that's going to be in your face, devil, preaching the truth type of deal. Well, he was that way, you know, and he was always preaching end time stuff and yada yada. So I couldn't wait to hear him at his Kufi conference, which is the, you know, Christian something for Israel. But when I get in there, I was shocked to the bone at what happened in there. Because Zionism on a stick, on a stick. Because I know, I have heard him preach that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I know I've heard him preach this. But when I saw all these Jews there and the celebration of nothing but Israel, and had all these Christians dancing around with Israel music and all of this, the whole thing was to get the custom of Israel and their nation into the church. I only heard the name of Jesus once. And it was by an awesome black guy who was up there talking. He did mention the name of Jesus. But the whole thing was to convince everyone that the Jews are okay with God. Not that they need to get saved. We need to evangelize Jews. We need to evangelize this nation. Because they need to turn to Jesus. I mean, I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what your genealogy is. The Bible clearly states every single person has to get saved. But see, Zionism does not believe that. They believe in the first covenant that it still exists. So, now that it's all said and done, because I was with him in 2019, and now it's 2025, you know, so we're talking 6 years later, you know, now that all of this is coming in, they've got all these Christians duped, you know, to where they all feel like they're okay with God and they don't have to get saved. And you even have Paula White has spoken about it and said that Christians are wrong. They should not be trying to convert them. You have had Michelle Bachmann has said the same thing, and now you got what's his name over there as the ambassador. He's saying the same thing. Anybody that partners with Zionism has to go over to this ideology. So those that are on the outskirts are the ones that they're after. But if you believe the Bible, you have to believe this. I mean, but just like what we read in Galatians this morning, Jesus is the only way, people. He is the only way. There is no other way. All right, let me read my final thoughts, and then it's 9 o'clock. I've got to get off here. Okay, so I'm going to read you guys my final thoughts. Okay. Now, that dream that I had last night about my daughter coming in and stealing everything that she could get money for, now I know, after spending time in the Word, what God is saying. Okay, now, our brothers and sisters of faith feel like that we are stealing from them the inheritance, that we feel like we have Abraham's promise. Okay, now, so they, within this next year, will be turning on us. Okay, this is where the word from the Lord is the persecution is going to be ramped up in this next year. Last year it was getting out of the metaverse. This year is preparing for persecution. Okay. NAR partners with Zionism, which believes they are the promise to Abram's blessings. But the truth is that the real Christians are the recipients. We are the promised ones. Jesus came to open the door for us to have that promise of faith. AI describes it as the nation of Israel, the country, and that the modern day Jews are the inherited ones of the promise, that we get our blessings from them. But that's not how it is. It is us. Galatians confirms this. Jesus fulfilled it all. Okay? So, just to remind you guys, last September, the Lord gave us the instructions, get out of the metaverse, and now what's happened since then? Gideon AI, you know, I just announced last night, is born, and it is scouring the internet to find anybody that opposes, yada, yada. Trump announced July 4th that the baby was born. AI is alive now, causing people to go crazy, killing themselves and others. And AI sensors are going up in buildings and especially focusing on the elderly. Okay. So we have a lot going to be happening over the next year. So the word of the Lord today for us is know who you are in Christ. We settled that today. We settled it. We are in Him with our garment on. We are married to the King. We are of the kingdom of heaven. We are in the identity of Christ. Okay? So, whatever the will of the Lord is, be done. All right, guys. Y'all have a wonderful day, and I will see you tomorrow. God bless.